Welcome to IT1 Module 16, Part 2.
So I'm going to send out a press release later to the list. If you guys want to advertise, just email me the list that you want advertised to, and as long as no one else has advertised on them, that's fine. Get this out here because I actually can't at the moment because I was absolutely ridiculously packed at work, and I've been very, very busy at work all week and haven't had time to even think.
She comes home, reads 20 email messages.
But you have a Australian accent starting to happen for all of this.
What's up?
Yeah, you do actually. You've got an Australian accent.
I said you have a touch of Australian accent starting to happen.
No!
Oh, she can't even remember a social Australian security number. So, yeah, she's turning Australian already.
It's gone.
I might know what it is. But, anyway.
Yeah, so we're going in top 10 tidbits. We're going in blind post, if all goes well. We're probably going on blind bargains and RS games, even though the student quality we tend to pull from those two places isn't amazing, but we need to get out there. So if anybody can think of any other places, feel free to assist us in spreading the word.
Are we going to attempt to do another blind cool tech thing?
No, Blind Cool Tech isn't putting any content up. Like, it's pointless. By the time they put it up, it'll be two and a half months after it goes up. How about Twitter, Dropbox, and Facebook? That'll be quicker. And not that it helps you guys, but apparently that guy that came over and saw us, that you guys all stayed up for, or some of you stayed up for, apparently they're looking at dropping us off 15 computers with 8 gig of RAM in them.
Wow, fantastic!
Nice.
Yeah, I know.
Anyone got any questions while Grace is finding her place?
What are we supposed to do with the labs that require two computers?
Probably use two computers if you don't have
them. If you
have
two computers to use,
like network share?
Or use your virtual machine?
Yeah. You can use a virtual machine and a regular machine, so you can use that as two computers. So my two answers
That's
to this are make a friend, or use a virtual machine.
Preferably make a friend, it's much more fun.
Okay, I didn't know if we could use a virtual machine in those situations.
Yeah.
What you need to do though with the virtual machine is change its network adapter type to bridged, so that it turns up on the same network as your regular machine, otherwise things get a lot harder. And you do that by going Edit Virtual Machine Settings in VMware Player and change it in there. And if you need help, get hold of one of us.
And the machine
wherever you are.
All right. So I think we spoke about firewalls actually last, and we talked about creating an exception. Now, here's a free answer to a question for you guys. Why should you not create too many exceptions on your firewall?
Then it's such
Go ahead, Lynn. Can't. Okay, Ali.
Because each time you create one, your computer gets a little less secure, because as the Windows help said, it's like opening a little door in your network. And so it gives hackers and malware one more little chance to get in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Welcome to ITE1, Module 16, Part 2.
Oh, sorry.
That's in there now. I'll slice that out.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
We also... Yeah, you're back.
There is another reason, actually. And the other reason why you don't add too many exceptions is that the more exceptions you add into your firewall, you will slow it down. So if there are 300 ifs and buts, you will actually have a slower, less efficient firewall. So that's another reason why you shouldn't be putting in piles and piles and piles of exceptions.
Okay, we have two types of security policies with firewalls. We have a restrictive firewall, and this only lets in, it locks everything out except what's allowed in. Any packet not explicitly permitted is denied. In contrast, a permissive security policy permits access through all ports except those explicitly denied. In the past, software and hardware were shipped with permissive settings. As users neglected to configure their equipment, the default permissive settings left many devices exposed to attackers. Most devices now ship with settings as restrictive as possible, while still allowing easy setup. Software firewalls can either be built into an operating system or as a separate application. Configuring the Windows firewall can be completed in two ways. You could just automatically do it, and you're allowed to keep blocking or unblock things as they arise. Deny any unsolicited requests that you haven't actually done. Requests may be from legitimate applications that have not been configured previously, or may be from a virus or worm that has infected the system. And then you can manage security settings.
Can anyone think of any firewalls that aren't part of Windows? I wondered if we did this last time. I just wondered if anybody could think of any standalone software firewall.
I believe Norton Symantec has a firewall.
It should,
unfortunately, yes, it does.
I used to use Panda Firewall.
Somebody's got a Braille light or Braille and speak.
That's Lynn's Braille and speak. That's
Wow.
That's my sad, half-dying Braille and speak because I can't forget the battery thing.
The text tells to how add a programmer in the lab. You can look at the chapter directions. Also, it tells you how to turn it on and off, which you guys can read on your own because you are perfectly capable human beings, I think. The Windows firewall blocks all incoming network connections except for specific programs and services. For example, the Windows Update Service and Internet Explorer are allowed through the firewall by default, probably because they're Microsoft products. An exception is a rule that opens a blocked port in the firewall for a specific need. Can anyone think of why you'd create an exception?
Well, all those auto-update things, if you actually want them to work, you have to leave something open.
Yeah. Can anyone think why JAWS would need
it? I want with all of my friends.
Absolutely. Can anyone think of why JAWS might need an exception? What? Sorry?
Research.
Yeah. Possibly.
Ever tried activating JAWS through a firewall?
Ooh, fun.
Oh, yeah.
And up
Tandem as well. To add a port exception to the Windows firewall, select the Exceptions tab. We already know what malware is, but here's how it affects security. Certain types of attackers, such as those performed by spyware and phishing, collect data about the user that can be used by an attacker to gain confidential information. You run antivirus software or spyware removal software to attempt to remove these threats. Apparently, some new browsers have settings or tools to attempt to prevent several forms of malware, though I'm not sure what these would be. I'm thinking we're talking about smart screen filters that will protect you against phishing. So, I think that's an error.
And Chrome. No. Chrome's got, and so have there's also some spyware blocking and stuff in the new Firefox.
So that's what smart screen does.
No, it's smart screen takes a hash of the download and sees if it's matched against a malicious database at Microsoft.
Or phishing websites.
Yeah, I thought smart screen filter only worked for downloads, not phishing.
No, it does phishing. Like, if you're going to go to a fraudulent
phishing
site.
Phishing filter used to be its own thing.
But now it's called smart screen filter.
And I don't know whether anybody's ever been in Thunderbird and you click the message and it goes, bleh! This message appears to be impersonating websites. Are you sure you still want to go to this website? That's another thing.
Top Tech Tidbits does it all the time. It's just a different link.
Shut up, Thunderbird.
There have been cases where it's actually been good, like in messages. Because the actual link text doesn't match where it's taking you.
It's kind of good to know, but in the other sense, if you already do know and don't care.
Maybe Top 10 Tidbits should actually put the correct link text in the link and actually put the link to where they're going.
That might do it. Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure what these would be. As we said, antivirus programs run automatically in the background. They may warn users when viruses are detected and try to quarantine or delete them or clean them. In contrast, spyware or malware removal programs may not run in the background. Anti-spyware programs that scan for keyloggers, which capture your keystrokes, and other malware so that it can be removed from the computer. Anti-adware programs look for programs that display advertising on computers. Phishing protection, anti-phishing programs, block the IP addresses of known phishing websites and warn the user about suspicious websites. Malicious software may become embedded in the operating system. In that case, you really have fun cleaning it up. Special removal tools are available from the operating system manufacturer to clean the operating system, but most of the time you're just reinstalling. Security requires maintenance as well. These tasks include updating patches, backups, configuring user accounts, and data. An operating system is often the target of attacks in order to gain control of a computer. The compromised computer can then be used to launch attacks, emails without the knowledge of the computer's user, or many other things. They can be used as big cracking bots as well, and you can be helping a hacker crack passwords of like big banks or something. A computer compromised in this way is called a zombie. Windows automatically downloads and installs updates to operating systems by default. However, this may not be the best way to update systems. In fact, it isn't the best way to update systems because then you don't know what you've done. The updates may conflict with the security policy of an organization or may conflict with other settings on a computer. Update options are automatic download updates, but let me choose when to install them. Notify me, but don't download or install them, or turn off Windows Update. There's a lab in Chapter 9 that dealt with this. What?
I'm saying we saw those in the Chapter 9 lab.
Yeah, we totally did. There are your answers for Chapter 9.4.2 of the options. They're right there in Module 16. Too bad you didn't know to look there.
quick advertisement, windowssecrets.com, and quick advertisement. We read it. It's amazing. It does cost a little bit per year, but they actually go through all the Windows updates and tell you which ones are going to hose your machine.
I think it's like $5 or $10, isn't it?
It's what you feel you should put in, and we put in, I think, 10 or whatever a year.
On a dial-up or cellular connection with limited speed or data caps, notify but do not download or install should be set to prevent slowdowns or exceeding caps. You could also run Windows Update. What? Oh, you could also turn Windows Update checking off.
Oops, did I break?
No, I broke it. Employees in a company may need different access to specific data or resources. Nobody other than payroll or management should be able to access payroll information. Employees can be grouped by job requirements and given access to files according to group permissions. Let me just tell you, they do this where I work, and this is about the most annoying thing ever. I think I had to get my group permissions changed 3 bloody times to be able to install JAWS on my machine. And to be able to update JAWS on my machine. I'm just like, yeah, I'd like to install my secondary screen reader. And this person sitting here next to me, you know, the IT people are like, yeah, okay. And this person sitting next to me sat there and researched the thing for 10 minutes to make sure it wasn't something bad. I was just like, okay, you don't have anything better to do with your time. I see.
No, honestly, Grace, I wouldn't trust Freedom Scientific as far as
I
could keep
them. No, it wasn't an IT person.
Yeah, but I wouldn't let somebody load a random piece of software onto my machine. Admittedly, they should have done the research before you came in, but yeah, that is pretty standard.
Oh yeah, no. It wasn't the IT person actually doing any research. This was somebody completely different. And I was wondering if they had anything better to do with their time, but apparently not. Yes.
Hopefully they learned a few things.
I hope they did. I really do. And I asked them what they thought of NVDA after they had done the research. And I don't remember what they said. But yeah, so it finally got sorted out, and I can install JAWS and, like, my Braille display. It took a while for me to actually get Braille on my machine because this group policy, which makes sense for everybody else, but if I have to manage my own equipment and screen readers and all sorts of other things, then group policies can be a little annoying. So, if you have a employee that may need different access to the group, take the 10 minutes and fix up their policies. It may save you hours in the future.
Actually, what they do with Ian, what they did with one of our ex-students, was they would open up his group policy to allow him to make the changes, so he'd have 15 minutes of you get to do what you need to do, and then they'd shut them down again. And that is sadly very common. So Grace is very lucky.
Yeah. Well, the reason I had them do it is because I didn't want them to have to hear from me every time I had to update something. Because at the company I'm at, there's lots of IT stuff that has to go on. They're very busy. All right, this hub process helps manage employee access to the network. Temporary accounts can be set up for employees that need short-term access. close management of network access can help to limit areas of vulnerability that might allow virus or malicious software to enter the network. When employees leave an organization, disable or delete their user accounts. Make sure they can no longer access hardware or data. Otherwise, they could access resources they should no longer have access to. This is a way they could get back at your company. If they had server storage space, this is another reason to disable the account. You can always change the name and give it to whomever is replacing them if you need to. Guest accounts may be necessary for visitors to use the internet, email, or to print documents. When guest access is no longer desired, the guest account can be disabled until it is needed again. Some guest accounts may require extensive access to resources as in the case of a consultant or a financial auditor. This type of access should be granted only for the period of time required to complete the work. Data backups need to be secured as well. This can be put onto removable media and stored in a safe place. We should know by this point why backups are useful and what they do. You get a lab on Windows backup and incremental backups. Backups should be performed regularly. The most current data backup is usually stored off-site to protect the data, media, if anything happens to the main facility. Backup media is often reused to save on media costs. Always follow your organization's media rotation guidelines. Backup operations for Windows XP can be performed at the command line or from a batch file using ntbackup command. The default parameters for ntbackup will be the ones set in the Windows XP backup utility. Any option you want to override must be included in the command line. You cannot restore files from the command line using the ntbackup command. The Windows XP Backup or Restore Utility Wizard files have the extension of .bkf. A .bkf file can be saved to a hard drive, a DVD, or to any other recordable media. The source location and target drive can be either NTFS or FAT. Windows Vista and 7 backup files have the extension of .zip. Backup data is automatically compressed and each file has a maximum compressed size of 200 megabytes. A Windows Vista or Windows 7 backup file can be saved to a hard drive, any recoverable media, or to another computer or server connected to your network. The backup can only be created from an NTFS partition. The target hard drive must be either NTFS or FAT format, with two T's. You can manually exclude directories in the Windows XP or Windows 7 backup, or Restore Utility Wizard. If this is not supported, this is not supported in Windows Vista Backup File Wizard.
That's just harebrained, right?
Yeah.
Just,
you can make a Windows backup manually or schedule how often the backup will take place. To successfully backup and restore data in Windows, the appropriate user rights and permissions are required. All users can backup their own files and folders. They can also backup files for which they have read permissions. All users can restore files and folders for which they have write permissions. Members of the administrators, backup operators, and server operators, if joined to a domain, can backup and restore all files, regardless of the assigned permissions. By default, members of these groups have the backup files Members of these groups have the backup files and directories and restore files and directories user rights. The Windows XP Backup and Restore Utility Wizard provides 5 backup types. We've probably talked about them before, but we're going to put them in here in case we need some review. Okay, full or normal. This backup type does exactly what it says it does. It copies all of the files, backs them up, and marks all of the files as having been backed up. An incremental, this backup type backs up only files that have been created or changed since the last full or incremental backup. Restoring files requires that you have the last full backup set and all incremental backup sets. Differential backup. This backup type copies only files that have been created or changed since the last full backup. Restoring files requires that you have the last full and one differential backup. And daily. This type copies all selected files that have been modified that day. The daily backup has been performed. And a copy. This backup type copies all selected files, but does not mark them as having been backed up. Sorry. And you put them in here twice.
Oops, I did.
That's okay. Yeah.
All right.
The backup should be readily available in the case of emergency. You should store backup media in a climate-controlled office or storage facility with good physical security, because you don't want anyone going in and getting those bits. Please, backups take a while, so it's best to do your backups at low traffic times, possibly overnight. That's probably the best time to do your backups, when no one's using the machines, so you don't have any traffic on your network. Alright, that is our lecture. Any questions?
Everyone's
is there a reason not to do a backup a flash drive?
Yeah.
You might roll over it with your chair, or it might just stop working.
Yeah,
but there's no problem doing.
They're really unstable. Like, flash drives are really unreliable. If you want to be storing stuff on something that you can rely on, I wouldn't be using flash drives. Because the one day that you want to get stuff off, you'll plug it in, it'll go USB device not recognized, and then you cry. A lot.
We had a guy who had all of his term papers up on his flash drive, and he had not safely removed it. He's like, it's not working. It's not, you know, it says that this drive needs to be formatted and all this stuff. And we're like, well, did you safely remove it? No, I just yanked it out of the computer and I don't know what to do. It's like, well, there's nothing you can do. Do you have a backup anywhere else? He's like, no. So he had to write his entire paper over that he'd been working on for 6 months.
It's amazing how many people who, you know, are pretty good on the computer don't know to do that. Like, you know, people that you think, oh, you know, this person's, you know, pretty smart, knows what they're doing, and they just yank their flash drive.
I think the moral of the story is if you've got a flash drive, use it as one of your methods of backups. But guys, CDs are cheap, and most people have a CD burner. Learn to burn some CDs too, because they're a lot more permanent than your flash drive.
And Windows 7 makes it really easy, and actually even XP.
Oh, I said unless you scratch them up like I do.
No, that's why we take them off you as soon as you've burnt them and put them in a safe spot.
He really does too. Alright.
My problem is labeling the stupid things.
Stickers, ID mate. That's solved.
Absolutely. Alright, so we're done with that lecture. Anyone want any good tech support stories? Because I have some, and they're hilarious.
Should I stop recording?
Yeah, probably.
Do we want them on recording or not?
No, you don't. You probably shouldn't be recording.
Are we going to do... Hang on, are we going to do any in-class things? Or not?
No, we're not. We're over those, Sean.
No.
Okay.
Over it. I think everybody else is over it, too. Is everybody else over it?
I thought I'd ask. So
have you done
just
enough troubleshooting? Do you understand how to troubleshoot?
I think so. We've done a few of them.
Is anyone not over it? Does anyone want me to go through them?
Cricket.
That's a no. Okay,
I think
cool.
That pretty much answers that.
I'll just tell you good stories.